This week, we're exploring the science of synthetic biology. Later in the show, we'll hear students internationally are competing to build genetically engineered machines and how researchers are designing enzymes from scratch. But first, to explain more about what we mean by synthetic biology, we're joined by Dr. Jim Haseloff, and he's a plant scientist at Cambridge University. So, Jim, what do we mean by synthetic biology?
Well, synthetic biology has quite a broad, some might say ambiguous meaning, and if you look at synthetic in terms of the dictionary and in its definition, you've got two accepted meanings for synthetic, and that's mirrored in the activities in the field. So synthetic can mean artificial, something derived and unnatural, and there are many people looking at systems which are artificial and used in biology in a sense that they don't come from the natural world. But as well as this, you've got the original meaning of the word synthetic derived from its root, which is that it's pertaining to construction. And that's really, one would argue, is one of the primary efforts in synthetic biology is to build new techniques for constructing or rearranging biological systems.
So if we're building things with biology, what kind of disciplines are involved in that?
Well, it's highly interdisciplinary because you've got the understanding of the biological systems that's required, as well as these formalisms that have come from engineering. So the idea that you can construct biological systems is based on the idea of modularity and having individual components that you can put together in a crude sense, like Lego blocks, that they're modular pieces that can be put together. But also the complexity of biological systems, which work in a very different way from normal man-made artifacts, where a man-made artifact might be designed from the top down and things are connected from one to the other. But in a biological system, things are emergent, things have simple bases, but it's the interactions that build the kind of complexity that we see inside biological systems, and that applies to artificial ones as well. And it's there that computational science plays a major role in our understanding of these systems, and it's required for not just for understanding but also design.
Can you give some examples of what synthetic biology has been used for so far?
Well, it's a very nascent field, it's a very early field. And in fact, in a way, the iGEM competition, this genetically engineered machine competition that you'll be talking about in a minute, is one of the major inputs into the field. And it's unusual because it's essentially a student-driven competition, and it's driven by this conception of people coming together and sharing components or modules. And the idea that you can take these simple functional elements and put them together into more complex systems is something that's quite new in biology. And we've been doing genetic engineering of systems for something like 35 years now as a field. And there's been this relative huge growth in our ability to manipulate the basic systems, but our ability to... So there's an anecdotal way of looking at that, for example. If you use the kind of understanding that we do have, you could ask any two biologists on the planet to put something together. Any two molecular biologists could assemble a system if you defined it for them. But they do it in a completely different way. Each individual would use bespoke techniques to construct this. And that's quite unlike any other form of engineering at this point. And so what synthetic biology is all about is putting in place the kind of rules and components that allow you to formally assemble systems in a regular, routine way, which every other form of engineering adopts.
So this isn't just biosystems. Well, it isn't just biochemicals, it's biosystems as well. You're combining lots of different systems to give one outcome.
Absolutely. And I guess it's those lifelike properties that we take for granted, the fact that things can organise themselves and maintain themselves and repair themselves. They're the kind of properties that people need to deal with the major challenges in sustainable resources and things like sustainable agriculture, where you've got a biological basis. And to be able to re-engineer systems, you require this very different approach.
One thing that science fiction likes writing about are biological computers. So how are computer scientists looking at this at the moment? What's been done so far?
Well, I think the main approaches have been to take the idea that you can have simple components, and there's this concept of emergence, that you can take simple underpinnings, and they don't just mean parts that you can put together, but also the interactions that underlie systems, which might be comprised of simple elements. And I think when it comes down to it, the kind of biology that we're talking about here, there are more similarities with social systems and economic systems, where you have complex behaviour and complex phenomena coming out of local interactions. And in the synthetic biology case, its interactions between genes and gene products. In wider, say, social situations, interactions between individuals. And so, for example, if you have simple drivers, like in society, if you're hungry, you go and get food, and someone feels that because they need to feed themselves, so they will provide food for other people. And you have the kind of complex social systems you get around food and consuming food in society, which are driven by these very simple, basic interactions. And it's a crude analogy, but in biology, you need to be able to think of how you could assemble those kind of systems, these complex systems, from these simple interactions. And so computer scientists have the tools which allow one to address these complex interactions and to look to engineer self-organization.
So they can use these tools to look at the organization, but has anyone actually built something that can store bits, data, binary information?
Well, there's a number of crude attempts to put together systems which will retain information, have genetic memory, for example, and information processing. So essentially all genetic systems are based around this idea of taking inputs and providing outputs. So it's essentially like a cellular or genetic computer. And so there are many small examples where, for example, you can, for biosensors, for example, one can take a simple input, which might be the concentration of a chemical, and produce a genetic response which produces some output, for example, a pigment that you can see.
And what do you think's next?
The concept of synthetic biology and this idea of having more formal engineering approaches of manipulating genetic systems is not so much application-orientated, but it's a whole new process, a whole new way of looking at biological systems and being able to manipulate them. And those of us in the field see that it may make a major contribution to the kinds of things that we're moving towards in terms of sustainable technologies, which will be based on biological feedstocks and replacing some of the rather damaging ways that we deal with the environment at the moment, and to move towards sustainable technologies.
Well, a little bit of plant fertilizer certainly sounds better than the 600 watt power unit that I've got on my computer at the moment. But that was Dr. Jim Hasselhoff. He'll be with us for the rest of the show. So if you have any questions for him or for us, then do get in touch. If you would like to contact us through Twitter, it's @NakedScientists, or you can send an email to chris@thenakedscientists.com.